Father, we thank you again for this book, Lord. Everything that we've ever done has been based, best what we could find, on this book, the Holy Word of God. And Lord, every time we have a prayer request, we come to this book. I believe with all my heart that everything that we face in this life, we can find an answer here. And I may be reading something, miss it, but the time I need it, God will bring it to my mind, because I believe it's the Word of God. Father, I'm so grateful at times I've seen and studied the Scripture. I didn't understand something and see something, and then suddenly somewhere else I'd be, and just riding along thinking, sitting at a stoplight, or in just an attitude of prayer, riding down the road, and suddenly a thought would come to my mind. And Lord, when that happens, I believe it's God. I believe it's me when I'm trying to study myself and look things together, research, and I know God's in that, and I believe God has given illumination, and I believe He's given direction to Scripture to put everything together. But then again, when doing that, sometimes even our mind and heart can get in the way of because of the flesh. I just believe when it's something I didn't understand and suddenly I'm riding down the road, where am I at? And God brings a thought to my mind. Right then and there, I stop and write it down because I know that came when I won't think, and I believe it's God flashing my mind something. If I write it down, I'll forget it. And the reason I'd forget it would be because God gave it to me at that time about something I'd studied 2 weeks before. So tonight, we pray you bring us together as we look at this portion of Scripture tonight and try to get our mind in line to walk by faith, to see this God through faith that's so great, self-existing one, who's able to do beyond anything we think or imagine. And may we fall in love with Him through Christ as we love Christ and through the Holy Spirit that's in us. Lord, to see you, that the world's not seeing you today, that we might understand a little more about you and know that you're there and not just use a phrase or two about, you know, I believe God's there. No, He's there because of walking with Him. Help us tonight, as Brother John already has prayed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we got down to a couple of phrases, and I want to go back. And I said here, we're talking about faith, and I call this now faith because I believe with all my heart this now faith, and since he put that here in this after leaving chapter 7, leaving verse 39, or the last phrase that he said, and went into chapter 11, which would have been another phrase, now faith in verse 1, I believe he's saying this, there are some things we face at times we don't know how to handle, but faith is that channel that God has given us to have answers from him. This book is his word, and therefore through faith, God will lead us to what is needed to give us that peace that he talks about, even when the peace that passes understanding. And so we said here, faith says, forget what happened yesterday. We talked about last week, the last thing we talked about. Forget what happened yesterday. Forget the past. Why? Because the precious blood of Christ has covered the past. If you're saved now, if you're truly saved, then the day you got saved, the blood covered everything in the past. And it can't bother us at all unless Satan, and we allow Satan to use us. And Satan's a mastermind of bringing things up. It's already under the blood. And I've talked to and counseled people through the years and realized they could not shake some things. Why? Because Satan knew if he kept bringing it up, it would hinder them from doing things. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're saved, you're born again, and you confess your sin before God, something that happened years ago and it's under the blood, he is never going to bring it up again. If it ever comes up again, because Satan brings it up, and he can bring us to a thing at some time to think that, you know, just keep thinking about it, he may not forgive us. He either forgave us or he didn't. If he didn't, we're all in bad shape. But if he did, and by the way, he said he would, and he keeps his word, he cannot lie, and therefore the only way we can have that when Satan comes back, we need to talk about, though, this now faith. And then we said we'll live for Christ on the daily basis to glorify him, to exalt Christ and glorify the Heavenly Father, and then we look forward to the future, and that's what God tells us about as he illuminates his word in our heart to the future where God has planned for us, even as Jesus said in John 14, he's going to prepare a place for us. So now I come to the 3 points of what faith is we see in chapter 11. And I'm doing this for the purpose because I want to energize what you understand and try to help us understand why God gives us the word faith and the channel of faith and that he is a spirit and everything we see about him we have to see through faith because that's the only thing that can give us a glimpse into the spiritual world. And by faith we see things, subjects of things hoped for, else things not seen. So when we get a week or two from now, probably next week, and we talk about God, the self-existing one, folks, I want to tell you something. If you don't have a channel of faith and realize by faith What he says about himself is true. This world will trick you to believe it's not true. Because we're geared in this body, flesh, by sight. And by sight, we see evidence of a great God. We've said many times, but you don't see God sight-wise now. You see him through faith. And that's the way it'll be till the Lord returns back for us in this age of grace. Why? Why, you say, what's the difference in the Old Testament? The old difference is we have a complete Word of God. You know, God doesn't have to come in type of vision for us in our day. Why? We have the complete Word of God. Now, if he does, it may be something, it'd be very rare, but I don't look at things as what God gives vision now about something for the future that he hadn't already got in this book. If he's got it in this book, that's enough. That's enough. But we're moving away from that. We're moving away because we've been taught, you know, God is still adding things. I want to tell you something, folks. Since God closed this book out, he has not added another thing in this book. Amen. And there's people telling you right now, God's giving them revelation because this country's not even in this book. That's really big a mess we are. We're going to have to either put our faith in him or put it in somebody else. If we put it in somebody else, it's going to be wrong. God lives to bring about what he's given us. And this book is precious. Below this book and you have nothing. If it's not God's word, you have nothing. It is God's word, though. Therefore, he's given it to us, but we'll see it through faith. Now, first of all, faith in Christ is our relationship with God. Now, faith, right now, faith in Jesus Christ is our relationship with God. And that's where we understand the things in these three verses about, for it's written, for it's by the elders retained a good report, and through faith we understand that the worlds were formed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and of course, Dr. Bruce Barton went into that the other day when he talked about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and looking unto him. Tremendous. I'm not going to do anything, get into that anymore. But I just want to say that the faith that we exercise in Christ at our spiritual birth is the same type of faith that God is working in us today. And Ephesians 2:8-10 teaches us we're working, we are his workmanship, working in the works that God has already created for us to work. And that helps me to understand, if God has a work for us to do, it's found in this book. It's not found somewhere else, so someone got outside of this book and tried to write a book what God wants us to do. If a person writes something about God that this book says to do, it's all right because it's to do. But if a person begins to get a new vision and say they got something that God did not say that, or God told them to do is not in this book, you better leave it alone. If we got enough here, if we don't understand that, that's all we need. In fact, we'll not understand all this book till we get to heaven. And it's settled in heaven with God himself. And so one day we'll see that. Now, sometimes we find it hard to live by faith. Oh, you don't? I'll be honest with you. And I know you say, well, keep saying 50. I've been saying 57 years, and I find it's hard. By the way, it's just as hard to live by faith right now as it was when I started out years ago. Because faith is not something that just hangs there as a tool that we can go to God like a candy man. Faith is believing God when it's going good or when it's going bad. Because he's promised us that there's nowhere in this life that we're at that he doesn't know about that. And is in charge to get us where he wants us to be if we respond. One of the greatest things that a child of God can do is even when things go bad, that God is where he ought to be, not just in words. Sometimes people talk about God, you know, where God's at in words. Words don't mean a thing if it don't practice in your life. And this Bible says that all the way through, and I'll show that to you in just a few minutes. So if we get to where God's at and begin to explain, hear what he explains about himself, the self-existent almighty God, you're going to have some faith. You say, well, I believe he's just good, but you're going to have more than that in just a word. It's going to have to be, it's talking like eating his words inside that becomes us food, the fact that we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, so we can hide this word in our heart. And he says, when we do, we won't sin against it. So this word is powerful when we partake of it in life. And so sometimes we find it hard to believe. Sometimes we get faith confused with other things going on in our lives. And so we make choices and do things which are not by faith, but by sight. And yet, because we say we are saved, even if we do it by sight, we say it's by faith. No, if it's by sight, it can never be by faith. If it's by faith, it may come to sight one day in the future. But something is by faith is something that you don't see with the physical eye, but you believe it simply because God has reinforced your life and knowing that faith is a substance of things hoped for, ever things not seen. So here it's easy to lose sight of what God really wants us to do because we hear something And we start doing it and look around and we run into so many walls that tells us that's not the way to do it. And you listen nowadays that we're, and I've lived long enough now to understand the change of what people believe now in the last 60, 70 years is entirely different when it comes to most people in religion. Now, those who believe the fundamentals of this book are still there. And so when I get to looking at this thing of now faith, I understand Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3 gives us a definition of faith that is sufficient to give us some profound insight as to what we have. Faith is not some cosmetic type of intangible force. There's a substance to it in the sense that it actually allows us to learn about the eternal God and His work here in humanity. So that means simply this. When I turn and I look and says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. That is, back there, every elder is written in the scriptures, didn't see something before it happened. They believed God and worked and it came about after what they did that God said to do. And then he comes right down to the third place, which helps us all who are saved. He said, through faith we understand. He didn't say through faith we know, but if you understand it through faith, you know it. Look at the terminology. There's a lot of folks know some things and don't understand it. By the way, I do right now. That's one of the things that I'm amazed at studying this book. And if you do much studying this book, you do the same thing. I wonder how many hundreds of times that through the years of my studying this book, I'd be on something, couldn't get in. I just can't put that together right now. And I'd be studying together and then I say, well, I just leave it alone. And all of a sudden, a month later or a few weeks later, all of a sudden, I'd be somewhere or another, not even thinking about it much. It's just like a light cut on you. Have you done that? It's just a light cut on your head. And you know, for a fact, I'd be God. You won't think about it. My mind, hey, the fallen mind doesn't think that way. The fallen mind, ladies and gentlemen, is not ever going to do on its own to try to approach God. It's going to have to be controlled in the sense by the Spirit of God, for us to grow in grace and also know that we can approach Him and will approach Him because our spiritual side is awakened. And therefore, we are in control and not the fallen condition. So I say that again, if something comes to my mind, then I realize this, I forget a lot, so I have to write down. You hear me say, I'm writing it down. If you don't have to write it down, fine. But I find this, if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And that seemed to set to me that it won't worth writing down, so I won't forget it, then it's my thought rather than God. But since I found it out of the blue, sitting at a stoplight or something, whatever it came to blue, I just assumed, listen, folks, what I pray that when I said this book, God help me understand it. And there's times I don't need to understand it, I need it other times. And I believe that God Almighty puts things together and you learn, then suddenly you come across something that you're studying and you can't get it right then. And so you bypass and keep going, and somewhere else, just like that, it comes. Something happened the other morning that I just had been thinking a good while. And I found, when I first came to a thought, I jumped up right then and started writing down everything that I thought about that. Because I believe it all my mind. It was a time that I needed it. It's a time that I'd listen. It's a time that I'd obey. And God just brought those thoughts to me. And writing them down helps me not forget them. And so here I find that this is important in life. Faith is not some cosmetic intangible force. God lets us see the reality of what lies ahead for us in Christ. And, of course, doing that, He's not playing mind games with us as we look forward to the future of being with Him. Faith provides a firm foundation while I wait for the fulfillment of God's promises. God's promise is so great to you and I. If you just accept it by flesh, it probably won't seem like it'll ever happen. You know why? Because we believe with all our heart that God hears our prayer. And I believe God hears my prayer enough to pray the right prayer. He'll answer that prayer. But I'll be honest with you. Every time I ask something in the way I ask it, I don't get an answer like I asked it. That means that God didn't hear me? Not at all. It would shake me if I didn't know this book. It would shake me to know if I didn't realize, hey, this is a time. First of all, if there's sin in my life, better get it out. Secondly, if there's not sin in my life, then why would He delay it? Because if I got it right then, it wouldn't do what He knew it to do when I do need it. And sometimes I'll get hung up on something, peddling in it, that I need to be somewhere else studying because where I'm at is not needed right now. Do you believe that God is so much in your life that He works with you like that? If not, you should. Because this book is the answer. And so when I began to see this, faith here is the firm foundation. And faith believes God and relies on His Word, and that anchors my heart and my soul in what He's promised in the supernatural realm. I believe it all my heart and my soul that God can do anything I ask Him. But I also understand He's a Father. And everything I ask Him, I hadn't arrived as of yet. And I don't feel bad about that, because Paul said he hadn't arrived either. So that simply means there'd be some things I could ask so selfishly it'd be for greed rather than for anything else. And I could claim, hey, it's not. God knows our heart. And what a joy it is to walk with Him. When I see here, sin cannot dominate or rule govern as a way of life. When God saves you and I, God's Word makes us better. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14 to 16, the Bible teaches us that we have a righteousness by faith and not by works. And here, this is interesting as we go through the Scriptures, because this faith is not a pie in the sky in the by and by. It's the very vehicle by which we can look into the future with sure hope. We cannot dictate to God, but we can sure trust Him. And that's the thing about it. Some people talk about, you name and claim and dictate to God, you know, just claim it. No, you and I cannot dictate to God, but you can trust Him. And trust Him will do things for us. It's amazing as far as life is concerned here. So, first of all, faith in Christ starts our relationship with God. Now, why don't you turn with Isaiah 58. Recently, when I was looking at this thing about faith and going into what we're talking about, the self-existence of God, I came across this, and I believe God led me to this because it's showing me the ethics that He's setting forth to Israel. And by the way, if you be honest, this is the mirror of God's Word. If you'll be honest, and this particular chapter has got 22 verses in it, if you'll be honest, God is saying to Israel right now what He can be saying to this country and this world today. The church in it, not just the world. And watch this when you read through it. We'll read through it real fast, like. Maybe you studied some yourself. He says in verse 1, now you got to keep in mind, this is about 750 years now later since they came out of the land of Egypt. They're in the land, their nation is established, Israel is really moving, there's a lot of things that's happened, they're worshiping God, they've set up all the system, going through the rituals and everything, and now watch, he says to Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. What? He's not talking about Canaan now. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the house of Jacob. What is the house of Jacob? It's the very one that Israel came out of, that settled in the land. He said, don't go in there, mimmy pammy. Just cry out loud. Why? They've sinned. And he says, and yet, they're in the ritual, they're in the motions, they're in everything, and yet they don't even believe everything, nothing's wrong with God, with them and God. Notice what he said. Notice, he's my people, their transgression, and the house of Jacob, their sins. Now, and you know for a fact, for him to say that, there is sin in the camp. Would you not say that with me, amen? For him to say that, there had to be sin in the camp. But when you read what they say, watch. He said, now this is Israel, and he said, yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. It seems so eager. My, they're just so involved. And a nation that did righteousness and forsook the ordinance of their God, they asked to me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Why? Look at them. It looks like everything is so great. They delight in me. They delight in asking me. They delight in approaching me. They delight me in doing the rituals that they're doing for religious situations. That's what he's talking about. Now watch, he says in verse 4. Behold, ye fast for strife. Hey, you're doing what you want to do. You do as you please, not what I say. That's what God is telling Israel now. Can you not see that? In this world, a lot of religious groups are doing what pleases them, their own system, rather than doing what God. Ladies and gentlemen, how many people do you see that really has a lot of people preaching to that they preach on sin? How many of you see that? How many people that has multitude cultures of people in their church preach on Jesus Christ only? How many heard Rick Warren say in a network interview that because his church was so cultural, mixed culture, they had three church crosses in their church. And he says he preached Jesus Christ, him crucified. He says he baptized people in Jesus' name. But because those crosses offended some people in his church, he took them out. Now, I didn't hear that by hearsay. I heard that on the news broadcast. He took those three crosses out because it offended some people who didn't believe what they believed. And yet, he's still teaching that Jesus Christ is the way of life, he says. I don't know if he is or not. You take the crosses out. Without the cross, you don't have no Jesus Christ is the way of life. And so he goes on here again. He says, wherefore have ye fasted? Say they, then thou seest not. Wherefore have ye we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. You do as you please, and yet ye come and say, well, notice the question, wherefore have we fasted? We fasted for you, Lord, but it was in vain. Thou seest not. You don't see what we've done. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest not? We have literally afflicted our soul for you in this worship service, and you don't even acknowledge it. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure. When you fast for what you're supposed to fast towards something that God can speak to you, a lot of times fasting is not pleasurable. But in the day of your fast, you find it pleasurable. Maybe they lost weight or something. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you, he says, and pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, watch what God says. Ye fast for strife. Well, no, Lord, no, no, we're coming to you. No, ye fast for strife. And debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You fast, but you fight each other in actual battle with your fist. Does that sound like Christianity? Or be Israel in that day would be Israel as those who were doing what God said to do? You see, ladies and gentlemen, God don't put no punches when it comes to where one's at and one's not at. And he said, Isaiah, you go and you cry out for sin. You cry out what I've told you to do in the sense, spare not, lift up the voice of the trumpet, show thy people, my people, their transgression. By the way, that's what this Bible does. Note, he said, ye smite with the fist of the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. You don't get my attention by the way you're doing it. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen. To know the way that God says do it has to be documented. We got it documented. We may miss some of it, but I'm going to tell you what. We're not missing as much as some people are when it comes to what they're doing religiously. I don't care who it is. Anyone who's worshiping the God who is the true and living God outside of Jesus Christ today are doing it in vain. Now listen to me. That is just about getting to be dangerous to say. But it's truth. You know why the prophets had so much trouble? Because they were going against the grain speaking the truth when everybody else thought they were okay like they were. And God was trying to cut out into people's heart to see that he has the answer what they need. And they will come to a conclusion later. They need it because he'll bring them to the place to their knees if he has to. They get them to see he is the only true God. And then he goes on, he said, is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? You think I choose that? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? The way you're going about this, you call this a fast. You can call it all you want to, but it's not a fast unto the Lord. All these things that you're doing, I don't care if the priest did say do it. I don't care if your leader said do it. That's not the way I do it. And this Isaiah 58, it's setting forth that great principle. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? The fast I have is to do away sin, wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens on you, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to houses, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy help shall spring forth speedily. In other words, what he's saying, those things that I have said to do, that these, if your heart is right for what God wants done, when that happens and those works begin to be done, and you see the fruit that God has said will produce, then he talks about, here's where they're going to see the light's going to break forth. You know what it says to me? God forbid that I ever come to this book to study it with any type of sin in my life. God forbid that anybody open this precious book to study it if there's sin in their life. Because sin separates us, folks. And there's no way in the world the Holy Spirit can give us what is needed when there's no known sin in someone's life. We don't like to hear that, do we? But it's true. Could that be a reason why there's a famine in the land for God's word? Because even the grassroots who have the word of God have not access to the truth of God, because there are things that God has dealt with. Maybe not here, but across this country, you find these are things that are happening in life that helps them understand that they... How do you know that, preacher? Because this is when people get off of these things and they'll look at something God says abomination to his sight or something that is wrong, and in turn form their own conclusion, start their own ministry, and say God blesses that. No, he doesn't. You say, well, listen, homosexual, those things are wrong. By the way, to not do what God says simply is wrong too. To not serve God is wrong. To not give to God as he said is his is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't just nibble at certain things and say it's okay when God, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And then I notice he goes on. I won't read it all for the sake of time. He said, then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteous shall go before thee. Notice, he said, this is how you can be right where you ought to be. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Lord will be blessed. Hey, people won't see it at the time because you're going to be down. You're going to be depressed. But I'm telling you that in that depression, I'll be there, and there will come a joy, a peace that only you will know. And then one day, you may not see what you see when you step the next step of faith. And my word to you is a lamp to your feet. But I tell you again, as I've said so many times, and praise God, I'm glad God showed me this years ago, because it always helped me. Somewhere down the road as I make my steps, and the hardships and the rebellion and all the stuff that's faced in life to be what God would have us to be, I turn around, I look back, and I just see just as plain as anything where God had deviated and brought and even protected at times that you couldn't see when you're taking the step of faith at the time. We're talking about faith, ladies and gentlemen. Then shall they call, and the Lord shall answer. Luke verse 9. Notice where they were at to Israel. Why you do this, preacher? Because Paul said to the church at Corinth, what God did to Israel is for our understanding, for our admonition, that we not be like they were as children of God in the age of grace. Isn't that amazing? That's what he says. And then he goes on and he says, if thou take away, he say, answer thou shalt cry, and he shall lay it, shall say, here am I, and if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hunger and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and set and make fat thy bones. I don't need that now, though, but that's what he said. He'll give you health. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring water whose water fail not. That helps me understand something. If I preach the word of God and someone's where they ought to be and it blesses them, that same word of God, someone is not where they won't bless them. And so I said, go back, and I said, Lord, did I really preach what you said to me? Maybe I got dates or something wrong, but what the message, what it was at that time. And if I can, then that off stuff that comes, the letters that get off sometimes, you say that person has had something wrong and wouldn't correct it. If you listen, you'd be surprised what God would do for you when you're serving him and you know what you did as near for him as you can be. And know you're going to give an account if it's not. And so you go back and you redo and you restudy and you be sure to confirm to your heart that it's true. Then he said, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Watch this. Verse 12 said, and they that shall build thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and the repair of the breach, and the restore to dwell in it. But notice this, that if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Now that's third worship day. what is our worship day? The Lord's Day, Sunday. From doing that pleasure, thy pleasure, on the holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, you know, to do what they did on the Sabbath, be their own ways, not God's ways, nor find in thy own pleasure, nor speak in thy own words. How's that? Someone said, well, the Lord said, keep the Sabbath in the Old Testament. But you know, I've got to do this. Listen, I kept it 3 weeks in a row. The fourth week won't matter. You find yourself making an excuse for something, and that day in the Old Testament. You say, but that's the Old Testament. They didn't have grace. But no, but there are things that God said do, serving him, that we don't have to do in the Old Testament, but there's things God said do, serving him in the New Testament. And some people fail to see that. We got to understand this thing to understand who he is when we begin to look at the self-existing one as he reveals himself to us. And he said, then shalt thou delight thyself, in verse 14, in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I see God saying something and the principle. I don't have to guide myself according to the Old Testament principles because it's under the law. It's in the Leviticus system. But God, who talked to Israel about sin, in grades of grace, ladies and gentlemen, sin is sin where it's in the Old Testament or New Testament. It doesn't change. Sin is sin wherever it's at. And so he helps us see that in the age of grace, thank God, Jesus Christ, my Passover lamb. I don't have to worry about taking a lamb down to the place and give it because of sin. It is a blessing to be able to see that. And I thought about this before, and I close with this thought, and then we'll go to the next step. And we've got two more of faith, and then we'll be into self-existing one. Jesus Christ, and here's the thing. I think about where I'm at, where the Old Testament saints are at, and where we're at in the New Testament is this. Jesus Christ did pay my sin debt. He did pay our sin debt. He paid the world's sin debt. But it doesn't benefit us unless we receive Jesus Christ. To as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Now, wait a minute. What Paul has said, and we looked at that just to give a thought as we get into these things in the next couple weeks. What Paul is saying, that when you and I got saved as a child of God, our sins are dealt with. They're paid for. I don't have to worry about my sins ever sending me to hell. But I have to keep in mind, Romans 6 and 7 especially, I have to keep in mind that Jesus did not die for me to live in my sin and go to heaven. Wow. Did you hear what I said? You say, wait, preacher, you said they were paid for, right? But if I don't understand the reality of the fact that now lifestyles changes, if I don't understand the reality that my sin has been paid for as a child of God, my lifestyle should change. So my lifestyle no longer is to live in sin, though I may have things I don't know that where sin at times captivates me, and that's what what Paul talks about in turn. But just as quick as I know that God says it's what it is, it's under the blood. So I cannot ever say that God paid for my sin and I'm glad he paid for them. So that he paid for them. So even now if I sin, if I don't change anything and just keep on sinning. They're paid for. Yes, but if you keep on sinning, you're not a child of God. I'm not a child of God. Why? Because the lifestyle changes. That's the reason we see it being said so much, that it comes, the lifestyle. Sin has no control of us, lifestyle. But sin is flesh. The difference is he'd give us power over this flesh to bring it in subjection as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that in this life. And so when we get to the next one, now we talk about not only faith, it makes our relationship with Jesus Christ because we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then everybody has some kind of faith. That's the first thing that comes up. Somebody says, well, everybody got some kind of faith. Exactly right. But is it in the right person? Father in heaven, thank you again, Lord. scatter and sometimes confuse it, but I pray the Holy Spirit will bring it together to help us grasp the truth about what God is saying to us as individuals. I thank God that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. And Lord, that's the reason he tells us, as a child of God, you have to expect the fruit. The tree will tell the fruit. And you gave us that warning in the New Testament so we could understand that fruit would determine the tree. God sees the heart of the individual. But fruit will determine the tree, and fruit of the Christian will determine the position. And therefore, that fruit will begin to appear on that tree until God takes us home. It'll get better and better, I believe. And sometimes there's a weak spot. Sometimes there's a rotten fruit that comes on it. And we have to take it off, prick it off, so it don't cause a problem. Sometimes people see the rotten part and never see the rest of the wonderful fruit on that tree. And therefore condemn the whole person for that. But I am glad, Lord, you see the heart and realize we're not arrived as of yet. And I bet there's not a person in here sometime but they get in a situation, don't lose their cool. And Father, to do that, the thought of something can bring disaster as much so as the deed. Because you see everything. Lord, help us see in through your word who we are. And why, as Johnny prayed tonight, we need you, Lord, not only just to save us, we need you to help us walk with you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and understand what those created works in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, are, and ask you to help us perform that. And when that happens, you place us into the body of Christ with positional places and give the opportunity to serve God with a measure of faith in turn so that you can start developing that and raise us up from the bottom ranks of the life into a position to be used of God, so until Jesus calls the church home. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.